Good morning, everybody, and I would like to acknowledge my colleagues, co-authors, Dr. Animal Nutritionist, Dr. Bill Pinchak, and his postdocs, as well as my postdoc, Dr. Emendak. Wheat is a major source of winter forage in southern Great Plains. It's planted on millions of acres, hectares over there. And the major problem with grazing wheat by cattle over there is frothy bloat, this nutrition disorder that occurs over there randomly, and it's very difficult to predict when it is going to occur. But we have identified four major areas or traits that contribute to occurrence of frothy bloat. It would be animal genetic makeup, rumen microflora activity, wheat plant physiology, and interaction with environmental variables like temperature, humidity, and solar radiation. Traditionally, the cause of frothy bloat in wheat on wheat forage are soluble proteins that are quickly metabolized by rumen microflora, and this causes production of gas in a very short time that cannot be eradicated from the animals, so the animals suffer, and as you can see on the picture, it's bloated. But we also find out that there may be other metabolites in wheat forage that may contribute to this, because anecdotal observation tell us that bloat occurs mostly during passing of cold fronts over there in this area that results in several days of overcast and sometimes much lower temperatures than usually in winter. There has been several approaches to reduce the occurrence of bloat on wheat pasture. One of them, the most common, is complementing the forage with condensed tannins. But also recent research indicated that simple phenolics that are found in forages also may affect rumen microflora and affect occurrences of bloat. We also found, based on our previous or preliminary studies, that UV radiation and temperature highly affects concentration of phenolic compounds in wheat. Wheat does not really have any condensed tannins, very minimal concentrations without any meaning for preventing bloat. But it does have contain higher levels of simple phenolics in different concentrations. So based on our preliminary data and recently published work by our colleagues from Oklahoma, we think that there is a potential for selection of bloat-safe forage wheat with higher levels of phenolic compounds. The research hypothesis we have in these studies was that diurnal and seasonal patterns of bloat occurrence in cattle are related to phenolic concentration in wheat forage, and the nitrogen fertilization affects concentration of phenolic compounds and bloat potential of wheat forage. The experimental approach, very briefly, we planted wheat cultivar cutter, that is one of the most commonly planted cultivars over there, in two growing seasons, in September 2006 and October 2007. We applied three levels of fertilization, 33, 67, and 134 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. We also included another treatment when we harvested the samples during the day, starting at the sunrise about 7 o'clock, and then every 3 hours more or less until sunset. And time of the season or month was from November. The sampling was done from November through March. We sampled once a month, usually around mid of the month, during two consecutive days. And the forage analysis, we looked for total phenolics and foam strength as a measure of bloat potential in the forage. Plot size was 11 by 15 meters, and it was completely randomized block design with three replicates. Weather patterns, briefly, because they will be helpful to explain the results. In 2006-2007, we had more than enough precipitation in early fall, so the plots established very well, and then it was followed up by a very severe drought in winter, and then recovered again in spring. In 2007-2008, that would be the red bars, columns, was very dry in fall, so we had to apply additional irrigation in order to establish the plots. And later on, except for December, it was still dry, but the plots, the plants could grow. Briefly, right at the beginning, what we found over there. The phenolic concentration in the first growing season was affected by a three-way interaction between nitrogen level, time of the day, and month. In the second growing season, by interaction of nitrogen level and time of the day, and month and time of the day. While foam strength was affected only by single effects of nitrogen fertilization, time of the day and month in the first growing season, and time of the day and month in the second growing season. Just to compare also that we didn't have very much variation in solar radiation during this two growing season. The solar radiation would be the yellow or yellow framed boxes. Except for January in the second, in the first growing season, we hit one day that was with overcast, that was lower than in the second growing season. The temperature was higher in the second growing season in the early fall, or fall, let me say, and winter, but then it was cooler in the second growing season than in the first in spring, in February and March. So the first three-way interaction in the first growing season between nitrogen level, time of the day, and month, we are not quite sure why they are not consistent. In November, we didn't have the 33 samples from 33 kilograms nitrogen because of a human error. But at this time, in the afternoon, the level of phenolics was higher on the 67 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare than the very high rate. But then in January, there was another interaction that indicated that the lower level of nitrogen will also produce lower level of phenolics, which then changed in March. So we think that this was probably most related to the availability of soil moisture and the different times of the season rather than to anything else. In the second growing season, we had interaction between time of the day and month, and it was very clear. In all of the months but March, the phenolic concentration increased from early morning to about noon, and then decreased with different intensity. In March, we didn't see this. This was not really of any significance, the differences, because we think of the higher level of stems versus leaves at this time of the season than in the previous seasons. There was also a significant interaction in the second growing season between nitrogen fertilization time of the day. And again, not very clear, not very consistent. Early in the morning, we had less phenolics at the lowest nitrogen level. And then it increased, was higher than in the intermediate level. So it was not really clear what's happened that way. And then when we look at the foam strength, it was a single effect of nitrogen fertilization also. Show the phenolics just to compare. The foam would be the dashed lines. So as the, and there is some problem with compatibility. When in the first growing season, when the nitrogen level increased, the foam strength also increased, which we would expect. And at the same time, as a main effect, when we look at the main nitrogen effect, the phenolics level decreased. In the second growing season, there was no significant difference as the nitrogen level increased in foam strength, and there was also no significant difference in phenolic concentration. When we look at the diurnal patterns of phenolic concentration and foam strength, it was very nice to see these patterns. Again, foam would be the dashed lines. In both growing seasons, the foam level decreased as the sun in solar radiation intensity increased during the day until lunchtime, and then increased again. At the same time, the level of phenolics increased from morning to lunchtime, and then decreased. Why this is important? Because, again, anecdotal observations indicate that bloat potential is the highest in the morning and then towards the evening. Usually, it never occurs during daytime. So when we correlated these two indicators, the phenolic concentration and foam in both years, we had, based on the diurnal patterns, we had negative correlations, which we would expect. When we look at the seasonal patterns of phenolic concentration and foam strength, they are not so clear like the diurnal patterns, we believe, because of the number of samplings, probably should be done more often than once a month. But again, and the effect of the droughts in both seasons. So this was not so clear like with the diurnal patterns, and we believe that this still requires a little bit more measurements and more in-depth research. Our conclusions were that phenolic concentrations in wheat forage followed diurnal patterns of solar radiation and were negatively correlated with foam strength, that in this case was a measure of blood potential. The effects of nitrogen fertilization on phenolic concentration and foam strength were not consistent between growing seasons and may have dependent on available soil moisture. And we also believe that phenolic concentration in wheat forage should be considered in breeding of blood-safe forage type wheat cultivars. I believe that's it.
Any questions?
Yes?
How do you measure foam strength?
This is a method that my colleagues, animal nutritionists, used. You homogenize the forage with artificial saliva, and then aerate this with a certain known pressure of air for a certain amount of time, and it bubbles the whole mass over there. And then you measure how much time it takes for the foam column to collapse back. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Do you know what the phenolic compounds might be that are
In this case, we measured total phenolics, so it would require a different method to measure actually which kind of phenolics are there. But we were mostly interested how the total pool of phenolics changes, and if it changes, and it does, so this research will be continued further to find out which kind of phenolics contribute to that.
Would you be willing to speculate at all?
Not at this point. Yes, we have also data on proteins and all other stuff. I just didn't present because of the time constraints, but it will be published in the full paper.
Well, the question is, does that seem to
have any? No, the proteins did not change during the day. But they were affected by nitrogen fertilization, yes.
We have time for another question, if you have one. So Darius, one of the questions that I frequently get about bloat is about the contribution of dew in the morning. Do you think that there's a misconception that it's the compounds in the plant that's actually doing this, or what are your comments in response to that?
We know about this too, that sometimes when the dew occurs in the morning, you have more frequency of bloat in the field. I don't know at this point why. I mean, this is one of the constraints with the environmental variables that may contribute to this too. Mostly when the dew occurs is when it rapidly cools down in the night. And based on our previous research, we found out that at lower temperatures, the phenolics are not produced in plants.
Kind of confounding it.
Yes, it's just confounding effect.
Okay, let's give Darius a round.